Bagel Tech Mac, the late show from the Bagel Tech Network, which discusses all the things to do with Macintosh that have gone in the week. That's those noises that you can currently hear are Andy Lee's MacBook taking off.
We need some more fuel. Okay.
He's cutting out the middleman. You know the AR drone that's controlled by your iPhone? Well, he's decided his MacBook could be controlled by an iPhone as well, and that will take off and he can steer it. That's what Plug and Play is all about. The top panel from here. Jump me new wall as well. Look, fellas, look. I finally got the chroma key sorted out. There we go. Isn't it beautiful? No. Right, move on. Top panel, top left, Forsman from Illinois. How's it going, mate?
Upperland.
Illinoising. What's been happening, dude, in your Mac world for you this week?
Well, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle to cover what's been going on. There's some legal wranglings going on. Actually, it just happened early this morning.
We'll talk about those.
Apparently, Apple... Or Motorola has won an injunction against Apple.
Oh, man. Junctions are all over the place, so we'll have to talk about those during the course of the day. That's fine.
Yeah.
Kyle, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, conjunction. What's your function?
Very good. You could be a lyricist.
It's actually an old cartoon from the 60s.
Right. So,
yeah. How
are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
We started late, and now we're talking crap whenever I ask a question. It's not good.
Tech.
It's true. And Andy Takeoff in the bottom right. How you doing, mate? From the London Mac User Group.
I'm very good. Yeah, very busy week. But yeah, very good.
Okay, mate. Not a problem. And last but by no means least, my drinking partner for tomorrow evening, Mr. William Green.
Hello, chap.
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not very happy, actually.
You're very happy?
Yes.
Why?
Well, it's mainly the Toys R Us thing. I mean, if you've got a toddler and you're going to Toys R Us...
You've escaped.
It's like... It was £5 for nappers, right? And £4.95 for a Buzz Lightyear and... what's the other chap called? Woody. And I was so happy to get out of there. I hate that place. But, yeah.
So you've taken a small toddler into Toys R Us and emerged not even a tenner lighter.
Not even scathed a little bit.
Good man.
I could even afford to pay with it with cash.
I think you can get a medal for that in places. There you go. The week in Apple news. It's been a bad week for going to court if you're trying to sue Apple, and also if Apple are trying to sue you. It's been all over the place. Australian High Court has said that Apple's appeal can get stuffed. So that means in Australia, the Samsung Galaxy Tab is now available for sale at 10 inches. Jolly good. And in France, Samsung were told to get stuffed by La Franche Court, who said, shove it up your back. Side, you can't stop the sale of the iPhone 4S because we want it too much. All the taxpayers in those two countries have paid for it. And Mr. Forsman, you said that you've got some information about another court case finishing this morning with Motorola. So what's that one on?
It looks like Motorola's won a German patent suit against Apple, even though the patents in question are... Friend encumbered 3G standards related, so I'm still actually in the in
you're
the
still reading it, aren't you? That's what he's trying to say.
Is it a German suit with a pattern?
Say it again, Will.
I said, is it a German suit with a pattern, or is it a German pattern suit?
Suit, SUIT.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm talking to Forsman. He's not got it.
Oh,
he's being serious. He sat on his finger again. Right, mate.
It's all the textiles behind him. He's really thinking.
The textiles, that crafty stuff, dude. You are keeping a feminine side quiet like you wouldn't believe. Shh. Keep it quiet, girlfriend.
Seriously, guys. Come on. but no, Motorola actually has a couple lawsuits in Mannheim in Germany against Apple, and the courts ruled against Apple on one of them. I'm still trying to suss out exactly what the effect is going to be. But this just happened, I guess. This would be late last night, early this morning for me. But it happened in Germany yesterday afternoon.
I've got to say, I don't know about the rest of you, but I think the patent stuff around Apple is really freaking boring. Oh, so we did enough on patents. Right. Logic Pro's gone on sale in the Mac App Store. You've got to be excited about that one, guys. Come on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
10?
Yeah.
Nine.
Oh.
Logic Pro 9 for £199, $199, sorry, has gone on there as well. And Main Stage 2's gone on sale for $29, so there you go.
It's a separate one. Well, I was expecting Logic 10 to come out any day now. I've been so watching the rumours really closely.
It's about right, isn't it? I mean, it's 18 months or so.
It is.
$139.99.
Say again, what?
Yeah, it's time for
$139.99 UK.
That's very good. So they've actually got the what's impressed me there is they've actually got the conversion rate right for the first time all year.
That's because the dollar sucks. That's why.
No, it's still not right then. Okay.
No, I mean, it's great to see it. It is. It's really, really great to see it. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not really a Logic fan. I've used Logic a little bit. I'm more of a Cubase Pro Tools kind of person. But that's enough actually for me to actually, at that price point, that's enough for me to actually go try it. I mean, as a Christmas gift.
I was just about to say, Kyle, being as you're a legendary tight ass, the... Yeah. Even Greedy agrees with that. Oh, he is. But even as a legendary tight ass, you probably shy away from Logic because it was $900 before or $700 or whatever. But now that's $199. That's a good buy.
That is a stocking stuffer right there, a virtual stocking stuffer.
Now, Greeny, you've had a look to get the price. Does it come with the jam packs in that or not?
I think so.
Have you still got to rip those?
No, it says 15,000 Apple loops available.
Oh, that's with the jam packs then, yeah.
So the jam packs, yeah, I think so. And all the other stuff. But it does sort of, you think, okay, well, if they've released that now, what's happened to Logic 10? I can't see Logic 10 coming out till at least sort of mid-2012, maybe later. Do you think? I mean, why would they put it on the App Store?
I'm just looking at Russ's comment. not everybody likes a turd in their stocking.
Logic Pro's not a turd. I like Logic Pro.
I love Logic Pro.
I'm a Cubase Pro Tools fan.
I love Logic Pro because Will Green taught me how to use it.
Yes.
See, he bought it when it was 8, and he showed me how to use 8 because I'd bought 8, and I said I was going to buy 9 and upgrade, and he said, don't upgrade because it's a turd, and I upgraded. And but I've had the last laugh now, mate, because you've got Lion.
But it's okay. What I've done is I've dual booted my machines, and I've got my Lion partition, which is my main one. I've got a snow calendar. Then looking at your calendar thing, snow Lion partition, and basically
a snow Lion.
Well, all the stuff that you cannot run, for instance, iLife 06 or something.
Only you, Greedy, would want to run iLife 06.
Well, I am running
iLife 06. He does have Plex. Remember, they had Plex. Just remember that.
Well, if you install it on your Snow Leopard partition, you can run it on your Lion when you boot into Lion just by launching the apps from the app folder. Thus saving loads of... You should like this, old Kyle. You should like these...
I don't... I mean...
When you're saving tips...
Yeah, I know. I do. I appreciate it. Really, really do. It's just like having Don on the show.
Yeah, failing that, if you don't want to spend £139, Kyle, news groups. There we go.
I'm not going to do that.
Now, I think £139 for Logic is just phenomenal because I paid £150 for a student license for 9. So, I mean, that really is great. Main Stage for £30, $30, £20. What do you reckon? Because I think Main Stage is the biggest turd there is.
Well, but what use do you have for Main Stage?
Okay, you're not saying I'm talented enough to do anything live. Thank you. That's fair enough.
I didn't say nothing about that. I said, what use do you have for it?
I don't have a use for it, but I've heard people people that do have a use for it don't think it's much cop. And Greeny, you slagged it off no end.
Oh, I hated the thing. But I mean, I was a pro muso for a while, and relying on computers to when you're trying to give a performance is a blooming nightmare. I used to carry around an Atari ST and an Akai S900 from gig to gig, getting paid off. I was going to do a poster once about all the reviews I've had. Things like Will Green, he ruined our evening, was one quote. Pretty nice.
Winning fans.
Oh, it was lovely. I remember playing.
Here's an interesting thing about Logic Pro and Mainstage. When you buy it from the Mac App Store, though, you get either app, and then from within the app, you can go and you can download the entire like 25 gigabyte library of every Apple loop, every software instrument, everything.
Yeah.
Whether you get Mainstage or Logic Pro.
Well, that's the thing is if you buy Logic in hard copy format, which you can no longer do now because now they've stuck it in the store, they've removed all the hard copy stuff. Mm-hmm. But you got 8 discs, and 6 of those discs were DVDs full of jam-packed content at 4 mm-hmm. gigabytes apiece. Yeah. So mm-hmm. there is an enormous amount. And I mean, literally, if you've listened to The Daily Show at all this year, all of the little skits that I've done, like the jungle sounds and all that kind of stuff, and all the Santa's crap for Christmas, all of the phone rings and those kind of things, they all come off Logic.
Even Santa himself.
Well, no, Santa actually rings, of course. That's not what I'm saying. Afterwards, I have to put the phone effects in. Did you like me Alan Freeman today, by the way?
It was good. It was really good.
Oh, thanks.
Pat yourself on the back.
Oh. Don't break your arm now.
No, there we go. I'm really chuffed with that, I've got to say. And the one thing I thought, Greeny, was I agree with you with this, because I thought if they're going to shove 9 in, it means that they might be, it's like a little placeholder ready for 10, isn't it? That's what we want.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I thought putting 9 in is a bad indication of what's going on with 10. Maybe 10 for some reason has been pushed back. Maybe they're having some problems with getting it ready for the big time, do you think?
Well, I was just about to say I was quite hopeful that it might be a little placeholder thing. But having said that, with Aperture 3, they stuck Aperture 3 in the store and they've done sod all with Aperture 3. And that is long overdue an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's a bit dodgy, isn't it, Aperture?
Well, what do you want to use it for?
Well, I mean...
photos.
Thank you, Kyle, reinforcing his place on this panel.
I wanted to use it for what it, honestly, genuinely what it's meant for. So not as a Photoshop replacement, as a sort of a media organizer or photo organizer with some sort of effects occasionally. But it's not that I'm talking about. It's when you hit the full screen key, instead of being like, so as the rest of the applications are, it's the normal application, but in full screen, in a sense. You know what I mean? When you press the full screen button on Aperture, it totally changes. Sort of all the left-hand pane disappears, and you're just left with this sort of black screen. And if you're lucky, you might see some photos. Very buggy. I'm not very satisfied.
Streak Machine in the chat room has said, don't give Lord Bagel any ideas now. Robert, I think we've worked out you're Lord Bagel. Who is Lord Bagel? I think it's Robert. There we go. He says he's not, but there we go. Druss in the chat room says Logic 10 is the icing on the turd sandwich. and Russ says Aperture is a little slow, which is quite reserved, really, in comparison. I think full screen mode. I've used Aperture for years now. My first version was 1. And I quite like it as a repository. Definitely, but it's. I mean, I've also got. I'm anal about backing up me photography. Repository and anal's probably not two sentences I should have put together. Really, is it?
Second suppository. Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that you've got Aperture to store stuff, it's very easy to flick through it. It's event focused again, just like iPhoto is, but it's a better quality application, and the vault functionality within it as well is just stunning. If you've got a spare drive to make sure everything goes to that, and that's where I get my 5 copies from. I've got 2 physical file copies on Finder, if you like, although Finder sucks, you know, ChronoSync, and then I've got Aperture as one set of images, and I've got the vault from Aperture as another secondary backup from it, and that's where me 4 basic sets on the house come from. And I do like it, I've got to say. I think Aperture's a great application. I would like to see it do a lot more with editing, but that's perhaps not what it's supposed to do, is it? I mean, are they onto a loser if they try and compete with Photoshop?
I don't know. I think they could, actually. I mean, God knows Apple's given Adobe enough crap over the last year. And it's well-deserved, shall we say. I mean, Flash is pretty much dead. I mean, I don't see any reason why not. They are the graphical interface streamline, by God, gotta have it company. So why wouldn't you buy an Apple product that says it's going to make your photos? If you think that you look this way, by God, we can make you look like Brad Pitt.
Are you thinking they're going to actually... I mean, I can't see them getting anywhere near a Photoshop in terms of the blend modes and content-aware delete and all that kind of stuff. But I would just like them to be able to do a lot more with some kind of layering and cutout. That would be masking. You know, those kind of things would be a nice addition that would just... It would give it that little bit extra and perhaps steal away a bit more from the Elements sales rather than stealing away from the Photoshop sales. Chris... You're a digi man, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the focus of Aperture and Lightroom both, really, because Lightroom's basically an Aperture competitor. Yeah. It's more about the workflow, and so it's all about getting your images into your computer, sorting them, choosing, when you go through and you've got like 500 pictures and you've got to nail it down to like five. I mean, that in itself is an enormous task. And so Aperture and Lightroom both, I mean, that they're sort of geared towards that task. They're geared towards raw conversion. They both have some tools for some local editing. But they're both designed to do a lot of stuff quickly, and then when it's time to do a lot of masking and compositing and other things like that, then you move it to something like Photoshop. They're both kind of designed that way, and I think it makes sense for what they are. I don't think it makes sense to pile on more onto that, because that I think it puts friction into that process that you're trying to get all those images in, get the best ones, you know. Get a good basic raw conversion. Maybe it doesn't need touched up. Maybe it doesn't need anything, you know, beyond touching up a couple spots here and there or whatever. Then the app works great. It's when you've got to like stop that workflow and then spend a lot of time, you know, editing, cropping, doing all these things. That's when you move to Photoshop.
Greeny, you're a photographer of extraordinary qualities. Have you got an opinion on it?
Aperture.
And whether it should do more to edit photos, you know, layers, that kind of stuff?
No, I don't think so. I think it works well with Photoshop as it is, really. It's it does what it needs to do, really, isn't it? I just think that it's a bit buggy in full screen. Or maybe it's my Mac. I mean, it probably is, or the way I'm using it.
Well, you ain't had much luck this year, dude, to be fair.
What are you saying? What are you saying, Will? Your Macs.
Well, to be fair, I've had Aperture One I had Aperture since One as well. And I used to train people on it, so I know it pretty well. But the latest incarnation, or version 3, seemed okay. But when they did the full screen thing, it crashes. I get all sorts of problems. But maybe I shouldn't be pointing that at Aperture. Maybe I should be pointing that at my bit of a ropey old Mac here.
You know, you can ask Andy something too. The tray tables are in the upright positions now.
Andy got an email he got a tweet from Father Christmas telling him to not be such a grumpy git and to actually.
I'm not being a grumpy git. I'm just waiting for an opportunity to say something I know about. What? I know nothing about Logic, and I don't know that much about photography. So
doesn't stop any of us though.
Do you want to talk about patents? Go back to patents.
Dude, if you're waiting for an opportunity for competence, you ain't going to find one on this network.
Speak for yourself.
iPad 3 is going to be thicker, but it's still going to be able to use the smart cover, apparently. So, Andy, start us off. Yeah. iPad 3 is coming in February, according to the... Retina display, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. I don't know. Thicker. Apparently, that's the rumours. It's all rumours at the moment, though, so...
Well, thanks, mate. That was worth waiting for.
You picked a dumb story. It might be thicker. That's the news so far. Wow.
Well, no, but have you seen the picture? Because I'm trying to get...
Yeah, I have seen the picture, yeah.
Right, so talk about the picture then.
Let me find the picture and then I can talk about it.
I'm trying to find the picture, but all I've got is a spinning ring of death on bloody Chrome. Piece of crap.
Welcome to Lion.
That happened all last week. It's welcome to Bagel Tech. Mac, it's in beta. Jesus. No, do you remember the patent filing a while ago where it had a distinctly more curved back to the to the iPad? Yeah, and there's a blurry cam shot out today, isn't there?
Blurry, yeah.
Yeah, with a curved back to it. That actually, though, does mimic the patent filing that was there for an HDMI connector as well, wasn't there, into the back of it. I mean, are we going to get Retina display on iPad 3?
You're going to get a almost Retina display. I think they're having problems getting that completely wide over that size of screen, which is why we didn't see it in iPad 2. And it will be just as thin as what you're seeing now. It's not going to be thicker.
Mm-hmm. Right. So have we got any knowledge here then, Kyle, on this?
Yes, I've got some knowledge.
Right, so tell us again then, carefully. We're going to be as thin.
It won't be quite Retina. Yeah, it won't be quite Retina display. They can't achieve that over the size of the screen for the real estate area. It's just, I don't know if it's cost cutting or what it is, but most definitely the thing will not be any thicker than what we're seeing now.
Right, yeah. So it's not even up to iPad 1, it's going to be iPad 2.
Yeah, like iPad 2 thickness.
Okay, so the blurry cam shot today is bull.
No, that's bad porn.
Blurry bull. Chris, what you're nodding a lot there as well. Have you got some information?
Kyle is saying not quite Retina, and I feel like that maybe needs a little bit of an explanation.
Please,
but they're gonna double the linear resolution. I think it'll works out to something like 266 pixels per inch. So it doesn't quite reach 300. I think the iPhone 4 is an iPhone 4S or 326, but a phone you hold much closer to your face, an iPad is farther away, and I think the effect will be the same.
Yeah, I mean the whole point of what Apple called the Retina display was the fact that you couldn't discern the pixels at the distance you're holding the device at in your normal operational use.
Right. And I think the effect's going to be the same. And I think it's going to be... I love reading iBooks on my iPhone because the display is so sharp, the type looks great. And on my iPad, it's just not as good.
Well, I mean, there's a point from Brian in the chat room here who's saying he doesn't think that there's going to be a Retina display because it's not an issue that users have identified as a necessity. No one's complaining about the screens that are on the iPad 1 and 2.
I agree, but here's what I can say. I got an iPhone 4, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then I got used to it. And then I had to use other phones, and now they all seem like garbage. They all seem like garbage because the display is so sharp. It's just better. And I mean, that's the exact kind of thing that Apple will do. Even though people aren't complaining, they're going to make it even better.
Now, Apple's gonna have to do this, Ewan, because they're facing competition from the Kindle Fire right now, regardless if they want to admit it or not. And the Kindle Fire is a great book reader. The iPad is also a great book reader, but the experience is more enjoyable on the iPhone. I completely agree with Chris on that. So they can't quite achieve that, but with the Retina display of what they're getting on the iPhone. But I think the pixels per square inch, or however you want to put it, you're going to get the same user experience with that. And I think that's purely because of all of these, you know, purely because of with Amazon's Fire. I really firmly believe that. They need to get that market more in their direction, and they're just not achieving it quite yet.
Is Apple even the least bit twitchy about the Fire, though?
Well, they must be hugely twitchy about it. I mean, iBook sales haven't exactly taken off that well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. But I don't see I would see how Kindle would influence that, but I wouldn't see how Fire does, because Fire's no better than, I would have said, a visual experience than it is for iBooks.
No, I would say the Fire is a much, if you're a primary book reader, you are going to choose the Fire over the iPad 2. iPad 2.
I think you're going to choose a Kindle over an iPad, over a Fire.
I think it depends what sort of stuff you read, what type of content, mm-hmm. and how often you read. And yeah, for fiction, probably the Kindle's the best. But I thought when I got my iPad 2, I thought I'd still use my Kindle. I almost never pick it up anymore because everything's there. I've got all my iBooks, I've got all my Kindle books, I've got my PDFs, got everything else on my iPad 2. I can just chuck something into Dropbox and then drag it straight into whatever application I want to use it in. I just don't need anything else. If I had a choice of one or the other, I don't know which way I would go. I'd probably go Kindle or Fire, possibly, if I didn't want all the other features that the iPad offered.
Greeny, I'm interested what you've got to say, because you've got iPad 2 and you've got Kindle, and you raved about the Kindle, like, but you not a, a lot more, like, more than you raved about a Plex app. But I mean, so what's your view on it? I mean, is the Kindle something that's unique and special, and the Fire tablet isn't going to take over from it by any stretch?
I think it's exactly that. Going back to the iPad 3, well, first of all, I've sort of got one. Because I've got an iPad 1 and I've got an iPad 2, and I've had them together.
So you tape them both together and there's your retina display.
I've got the lot there. It's got front-facing camera, back-facing camera, the lot, everything.
Can you can you duct tape those and frisbee them?
I certainly can.
Oh, that reminds me of that zombie guy. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think the Kindle is wonderful. The Kindle, the first, you know, well, I say the one with this sort of e-ink is just an amazing a product. When it comes to the new Kindle, I'm no fan, because it's pretty much an also ran, isn't it? There's lots of them. I mean, you can get I'm looking here, a 64 gig BlackBerry Playbook for £230, which would probably do a ton more. So for the sake of another £100, you've got a much better device. I'm just not convinced by it. I know it's cheap and cheerful. I know it's a bit of a loss leader. But as far as the technology is concerned, I don't use my iPad, either of the three, for reading books. But I do use the Kindle, because I can't read books on a TFT screen. It's pretty awful. But I can read it on e-ink. I think it's brilliant.
It is a different experience. When I first started using it, reading was a lot more awkward on an LCD display. It's a lot heavier. If you're in a dim environment, the light makes it a lot harder to read for a long time. I read lots and lots of tech books, and a lot of fiction as well, and lots of other stuff. But it's just a completely different class of product. I used to always have my Kindle in a jacket pocket. Can't do that with the iPad. So it isn't as always with me from a book point of view as the Kindle was. But the experience, once you get used to it, I think if you switch between a Kindle and an iPad, you'll definitely notice the difference in the experience. Mm-hmm. If you're just using an iPad, I don't think you have a bad experience. It's just not quite as good from the point of view of reading as it would be if it was the same type of display as a Kindle uses.
Did you see the iBooks 1.5 update?
Yeah, with the nighttime, yeah.
Yeah, have you checked it out yet?
Thank God for that, is all I can say.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's great.
I mean, it's the thing with the Kindle, though. I mean, I don't own a Kindle, but I've used one for a significant enough period of time to say that I actually found the e-ink a lot easier on the eye than the illuminated display of an iPad for trying to read any text at all. Yeah. I found it very easy to discern, even when it was in serif fonts as opposed to sans serif fonts. And I think the other thing was that the Kindle was perhaps designed to be used under a light, because it was aimed at people who read books but were of a techie bias, so they weren't worried about the iPad doing everything for them. They wanted them to kind of have this idea of, you know, where you would sit down and read a book previously, you can now sit down and read the Kindle instead. And it was never meant to be, you know, I think, like the adverts, you're lying on the beach, you want to read a book, but the Kindle will do that. And the Kindle was designed to work like a book, not work like a tablet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Kindle's great for that experience, but the two situations where I found that the Kindle was awkward for me to use were sort of just lying on the bed reading before, you know, before I go to sleep, and sort of sitting in front of the TV in a dark room. You can't do that dark room thing with a Kindle. There's attachments you can get.
You can't do the dark room thing with a book.
You can't do it with a book, but you can do it with an iPad.
And porn's terrible on a Kindle. Have you tried it?
I just see it as it's the only market that Apple hasn't conquered yet. They've got they've got music, they've got pretty much video. It's the print now, and Amazon is still, to me, is ahead of that. I think with a better, more close to Retina display with a new iPad 3, you're going to gain that experience back towards Apple's way, and then it's again the all-in-one device. I can read on it. I can I can surf the web. I can do everything on it. There was a comment in the chat room. It went by now. I didn't see it, but I also agree with that too. It's this DRM crap too that Apple's not being able to move the stuff around. That's something that needs to really take place, just like it has with the music. I think eventually it will, but they're new to the business. The publishers just kind of got on board with this sort of thing. I think in maybe two or three. I hope it's sooner, 2 years, but we might be getting towards that direction.
Amazon are just as guilty of that same thing. They encrypt their content with their own proprietary encryption, and as does most other stores. A lot of places don't. There was a study that O'Reilly did a while back, and they released a certain book without any encryption, and they found it had no impact on sales whatsoever. If anything, there were increased sales for that book, because it gained more exposure in the market.
Yeah, but I think O'Reilly's has a kind of a unique audience.
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure you could just put out like a bestseller, fiction novel or whatever, and have the same results.
I don't know that you couldn't. I mean, people have done it with music and got good results. So I don't see why you couldn't do it with a best-selling author. I think it's still early days, and the people that are going to spend the money on ebooks and drive the market don't even know they exist yet. So it's this, the early tech adopters, you've got the early hardcore readers who read a lot of books, people who just get shed loads of books off of Amazon. You ask anyone who buys a Kindle, they spend a lot of money on books on Amazon, a lot of money, much more than they did before.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I always try and keep a handle on is I think as people who are really into tech, we aren't a barometer of the consumer, not by any stretch of the imagination. And I look at my mother as a very good barometer of one end of consuming, and to a certain degree, my wife as well. I mean, it's taken me 3 months to teach her how to use iCal and to understand that she can share my work calendar so that she can put stuff in there like Itellis's Christmas play, make sure you don't book any work in. And it's taken 3 months to get her to that kind of level. And she's a fanatical book reader, but she is not interested in the iPad as a book reading experience at all. I've shown her iBooks. She's kind of like, okay, I look at the picture. Fair enough. I can do the resize, the pinch and zoom. Okay, fair enough. Great. And puts it down. She'll pick it up to play a game of Boggle or something like that, on it. Mm-hmm. But I've said to her about a Kindle and she's like, yeah, I know what that is. And what, you fancy one? Yeah. I'd like to have a play with one, yeah. And her interest is piqued by the e-ink Kindle. And if I say fire to her, I like the Kindle idea because she's. I think that's the thing that they've really hit on is this idea of they want to read books where they want to read books, and the Kindle is a book that just turns the pages for you with a button instead. I think that's where, and I think the Fire, I think, is a catastrophic move on their part because it's going to blow away other Android tablets, is a comment that's in the chat room, and absolutely right. It may kill other Android tablets in the tablet market, but I really don't think it's going to kill the Kindle. And I think maybe, the Kindle's got a parallel sale with this. I think Kindle sales are going to stay strong because they're aimed at book readers, whereas tablets won't take that.
I think that with all the tablets and the iPad especially, it's because you've got it with you anyway that it takes you away from other book readers. That's certainly what it did with me. It's the fact that I'm carrying the tablet everywhere I go, almost, unless I have to take a laptop with me. I've stopped taking a laptop most places because if I don't need that functionality with me, I don't need to carry it. And therefore, if I've got the iPad with me, I can read on the Kindle, the Kindle app or whatever on the iPad just as easily. But I do agree that for most people, if you're not going to have the tablet with you, then the Kindle is a much better experience. The £89 Kindle is amazing. I mean, the price point is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And the device is it's such an excellent experience for reading written content. And it does a pretty good job with illustrations too.
I think I'm going to get the wife a Kindle for Christmas. Don't worry, she doesn't watch this, so.
but, spoilers.
But I'm going to get one for Christmas, and I'm going to set her up with an account that's linked to my credit card, and she can buy a book when she needs a book and just browse through the store, and it's going to cost me a fortune.
It will cost you a fortune.
Yeah, no, but I don't mind, because at the moment she's still buying books, but she's buying hard books that she's then giving to jumble sales and things like that. So I think it's a good move.
Can I just have a rant on the old ebook thing? The thing that winds me up the most about ebooks, and I've signed the petition and I encourage everybody else to sign it, is the fact that they charge VAT on ebooks when they don't charge VAT on paper books. Surely it's the content that's important, not the delivery platform.
Well, I think you might find there, because there's different... when I got the iPad, I was charged import tax on it, and I got the import tax back because it didn't contain a calculator on it. There's some weird stuff around taxation.
It's deliberate. It's a treasury thing. They specifically don't charge VAT on regular books for the educational benefit of reading a book, and they specifically do charge for digital books.
No, I think what you'll find is it's not deliberate because they've identified it as books. I think it's deliberate on the basis that it's being wrapped up with some other kind of computable purchase media. It's got nothing to do with... I don't think they're deliberately doing it. I just think it's gone through and they are laissez-faire to bothering to change it. I might agree with that one, but I think you'll find it's to do with the sale of software or to the sale of computer data software, that kind of stuff that it's come through from.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Its categorization is wrong.
It's just, it winds me up.
Definitely.
You get really wound up too.
Oh, yeah.
Apple TV.
Sometimes.
Apple TV.
I'm really angry.
Confirmed. No.
What's that?
Apple TV confirmed.
It's been confirmed for me for months now.
A6-based Apple TV coming in three sizes that go from 32-inch up to 55-inch. And that picture that I'm showing you's got nothing. It's obviously not real. Don't get excited. but that's it. That's the new Apple TV coming. People are suggesting end of the year, though, Kyle.
No, it won't be end of the year. It's definitely, this is something they're going to start integrating. Actually, I've seen it this week with Macs, this whole cross-platform TV streaming, this kind of stuff in IMAX, I think, is where their first market is, getting all of this content kind of brought over to the computer platform. That's essentially what this TV is going to be. It's going to be a giant computer in your living room that doesn't feel like a computer, that you can talk to, that you can interact with. You had all your media content there, probably everything, but read a book on the thing. Which would be quite well. Who knows? Maybe you could read a book.
I went to iCyberPools for tea this week when I was down in Swindon before the Cotsmug thing, and his family has given up the TV. They've got an iMac in the lounge that's on a big swinging boom arm with a Visa mount on it, and all the TV. Everything comes through the iMac, the whole lot. TV tuner, the whole shebang. They've given up the idea of a separated TV.
They've given up, or he's forced them to...
that's a good point. Well, no, because, I mean, he's got two kids. So, I mean, they would whinge like billy-o, mate, if they weren't getting the TV that they wanted to be able to get.
I suppose.
I think that's exactly what Apple wants to do, though. I think that's people like that, and it is a younger generation. If you're looking more and more and more generations, they've given up cable. Their computer is kind of their TV now, and I think this is where Apple's going with this. It's the younger generation crowd, the people that like us and have bought the Apple products, that have consumed this content, but are looking for more out of it and an easier use out of it. And I think with Siri... plus all the content that's in the store, it's a no-brainer that Apple will go this way, but it won't be at the end of the year, definitely.
Mm.
Did you see this, that Apple has expanded the TV streaming to the UK?
Yeah, yes, that was this morning, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know.
They've done what? What have they done?
So
What have they done?
Well, we've always been able to buy TV shows, haven't we, though?
I think so, yeah. So at least for a long time.
But we've not had a live stream or anything like that. I mean, are we getting iPlayer and that type of stuff, though?
No, it's so the way that Apple TV used to work is you had to download TV shows to a computer somewhere in your house, and then you could stream them to the Apple TV from there.
Mm.
With the new Apple TV 2, though, it doesn't have, at least here in the U.S., they switched that over so that when you watch the TV show, it just streams directly from, you know, the iTunes servers, iCloud, whatever. You don't have to download it first to a computer and then watch it. And so they've extended that capability to Australia, Canada, and the UK. I think it was this week.
Yeah, that's what it's saying. Coming into the UK.
So what can you do then? I've lost the plot a bit. So
you can. So okay.
You can buy your content and stream it online. Basically, is what they've opened in the UK.
No, previously you had to download it in your iTunes account and store it on the file that acted as your server for the Apple TV. It wouldn't do it standalone.
You can purchase it and stream it live from the. So you don't have to have a computer at all to do that anymore.
There you go.
apparently the real bagel Lord Bagel loves me. This is the real Lord Bagel just tweeted to me. It says, I love you.
I love you too. Lord Bagelman has said hello to me as well. Hello, Lord Bagelman. Ish, I think.
This thing's getting out of hand.
Real. Ultra real Lord Bagel.
I think it's funny that this podcast has attracted fake fans.
No, I'm not. We haven't got any real ones. No one would buy this crap. Have we got... there's not a lot of news, by the way. Have we got any...
Well, I've got one for you then. Have
go on then, mate.
The OnLive for iOS.
No. OnLive, yeah. I've got to admit, OnLive doesn't really tickle me, I'm afraid. So
it's not... I don't know. I'm sort of... I'm yet to be convinced that it's reliable enough, but it's now going to be available. I'm not sure if there's an app available now, if they've just announced that the app will be available. But their service is coming to your iPad, basically.
Yeah. They have a little controller that connects to it, too.
Yeah. It's way cool.
So this is for iOS and Android.
Yep.
Cloud-based console gaming experience on your phone and or tablet.
Are you familiar with OnLive?
Am I fully what?
Are you familiar with what OnLive does?
I've never had a go with OnLive at all. I know what it is, but I've never had a go with it.
I've never used it in a domestic setting. I've used it at like trade shows and things like that where they control the environment.
Mm.
I'd like to see what it's like on a, you know, in a UK household, you know, with the horrible connections we sometimes have to put up with. I don't know what it's like in a real life scenario.
The controller is going to come... there's a library of 200 games to choose from. The controller is going to come with $39.99, so 40 quid. Playable over Wi-Fi and 3G, depending on your internet speed. So if you're on BT, you're stuffed. They were in trouble this week for their meters, weren't they? They had their sales promotional tool showed 29 megabits a second, and the guy built it based on that and only got 17. So, and the ASA have dropped the case. So, silly boy. Have we got any cool things? Mr. Forsman, do you have a cool thing for us that I can spell this week?
Maybe. Well, first of all, it's free.
Hey!
Woo-hoo! So, all right.
Tommy cool, tight ass right? Next to you's got a pen.
So, you Brits are familiar with this band called The Beatles?
Oh, you stole my freaking pick!
Oh, did I?
Oh, dear. Bad luck, mate.
You guys hear
this? That sucks.
That's what you get for being second in line on the Skype wall. Forsman's in.
But you've guys heard of this The Beatles? Have you heard of this?
We've heard of The Beatles because I hate them.
You hate The Beatles.
I think they're crap.
Yeah, Ewan has no taste. So anyways.
Well, they have this iBook of Yellow Submarine, and it's free.
Yeah, they sure do. It's awesome. And it's animated.
Yeah. Little guy.
Dude, stop talking across Chris's pick and just concentrate on your own.
But I think it's really cool. I think it's really cool.
I do.
I was never a big fan of Yellow Submarine myself, but I have a lot of friends that are into it, so I'm just, you know, perfectly familiar. But
so there you go.
It was my first like hardcore exposure to it.
If you'd like a free book on what LSD does to you, do go and buy it. Worth every penny, it would seem. Kyle, what's your pick, mate?
No, it's a fantastic book. It's it's really fitting for the show today that we're talking about books, and this happens to be only available right now, I believe, in the iOS or not the iOS, but the App Store or the bookstore, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's by the band called the Ruttles, and it's called a Yellow Blueberry, and it's great. It's free and. It's my pick.
Oh, bad luck,
I love
dude.
Yellow Submarine. It's really cool though. It'll actually read to you. You can press on the cartoon figures and a lot of the pages, and they'll do a little sound from the movie and everything. Best of all, yes, Tommy Tideass over here. It is free, and I do love it.
Why didn't you just pick the Beatles lyrics book that's free as well?
I like.
I know it's not. It's $22.99. My mistake.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's why I didn't pick it.
Well, you could have picked it though. You're not going to buy it, Mr. Lee.
I have to say this real quick. You know what's funny about the Yellow Submarine thing though? It is free, but they actually give you a sample.
Yeah, get sample. Why? It's free. The whole thing.
It is.
Never mind.
Sorry,
Andy. What's your cool thing?
My cool thing is Camtasia for Mac 2. They just brought out the new version this week. Lots of new improvements. It's a great app. I've been playing around with it this week, stepping on Don's toes a little bit. I'll be publishing stuff for LMUG, some tutorials and things about coding in iOS. Excellent. So, yeah, it's brilliant for capturing your screen as you're doing stuff, talking over, then editing the content. That's the thing. You've got the inbuilt screen capture as part of Lion, but then that's it. You're stuck with what you recorded. Camtasia lets you go over things, edit things, drag things out so you can make the frames last longer, so you can keep talking, add effects. Comes with mouse effects, so you don't need any third-party apps to do anything really within it. It's brilliant. Awesome is the word I would use.
Good man. And thank you to Andrew. We have some copies to give away. You need to be around here on the 23rd when we do the Mac show. But we're going to have all that day. We'll have shows for Bagel Tech because it's just the last one before Christmas. And we're going to have Santa's sack. And if you want to have a rummage in Santa's sack, you can win some fantastic prizes. All you've got to do is send us an email that says, I want to rummage in Santa's sack. And then we'll take your, your email, and we'll put it in a sack, and Santa will have a rummage in the sack, and it'll announce winners throughout the whole day. So there'll be a few winners in photo, a few winners in Mac, and a few winners in big. And it's going to be for a 1 terabyte hard drive that fits inside your MacBook Pro. It's a little 2.5 thing if you want that. That'll be up for grabs. Also, there's 3 copies of Camtasia 2 available, and 3 copies of Snagit available, and we may have a Nintendo 3DS available as well from UK2, so because we love them to bits and they're fantastic.
Think,
so it's Santa's Christmas gift. Santa's got a very big sack, trust me. Ho ho ho. So if you want to rummage in Santa's sack, then all you have to do is send us an email that says I want to rummage in Santa's sack, and we'll enter you in the draw, and throughout that whole day we'll be giving away tons of stuff, the big Christmas giveaway.
Considering it's very cold when he's doing his business, that's pretty impressive. They've still got a big sack, isn't it?
Yes, well, that's the point, is that you have a rummage in Santa's sack and see what comes up.
No, but I mean, when he's flying around, my sack gets rather shriveled and small when it's cold.
That's why he's got electric underwear.
Yeah, but his is heated. His is heated by reindeer farts. You wouldn't swap place with him, would you, on Christmas Eve?
Wouldn't.
Eight reindeers all farting in your face all the way around. That's why they eat Brussels sprouts. Will, what have you got for us? What's your cool thing?
You say eight. Shouldn't it be nine? Because if Rudolph was at the front and there you go in pairs.
I stand corrected to your greater knowledge.
That's
you
your cool
freaking
thing.
You forgot
really?
About Rudolph. You forgot about Rudolph, man.
It's bloody eight, Green. Get on with it.
Right, my pick is... I know it sounds a bit daft to begin with. It's a game for not toddlers, maybe, I don't know, sort of 3+, called Bartleby's Book of Buttons. There's two, volume one and volume two. It's for the iPad, and I think it's also available for the iPhone. It's just amazing, really. It's an interactive storybook, which is all good. But they love it, and it's really creative and really interesting. Australian, I think. But the great thing about it is
you're surprised. Really, really good and creative, even though it's Australian.
No. I'd be surprised if I said it was French, but no.
What if it had been from New Zealand?
Oh, mate, I never knew that you and I were in utter hatred of like a new year. Well done, mate.
Anyway, so the nice thing about it, and it's the first time I've seen an iOS application work like this, is if you've got an iPad 2 or a iPhone 4S, you know the mirroring, you can mirror basically what you've got on your iPad / iPhone 4S and send it to your Apple TV, okay, which works brilliantly. But with this particular application, the when you mirror it, what you see on your TV, for instance, is the interactive book, but on the actual iPad itself, you get the controllers. And it's the first example I've seen of this, and it's obviously the way things are going to go, and it sort of clearly demonstrates the potential that the iPad has got to be an amazing gaming machine, and it's just amazing.
There's a racing game like that.
Is there?
Yeah, Real Racing.
Real Racing, is that what it is? Mm. Real Racing 2, maybe? Mm.
Real Racing 2, yeah.
It is. I was given a training course last week, and I demonstrated this this new concept, and it just blew people away. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Bartleby's Book of Buttons. But so from a technological point of view, it's a fantastic... example of the future of iOS, but also from a gaming point of view, it's a great interactive book for your older toddler. Wonderful.
Excellent.
Even though it's Australian.
Good pick. My cool thing is Audio Hijack Pro, which I know is not new, and I'm in vain of or in risk of getting the piss taken out of me by Greeny for this.
Plex! Plex!
but Audio Hijack Pro, I've never used it until today, and really? I had a copy of the sign of the symbol, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I did loads and loads of searches using Finder, but there's not that's the surprise that you can't find anything with Finder anymore. And I thought, what shall I do? I'll get Audio Hijack Pro down and buy it, and that'll do it. But it does 10 minutes anyway. It only starts to put corruption on if you're catching more than 10 minutes. It was absolutely perfect. The quality of it was superb, and it ran absolutely dandily in the podcast. And it just it was great. I think it's a great program. I'm going to pay for it today because it's superb. Audio Hijack Pro. I haven't got a clue how much it costs, though, actually, as I thought. But it's free.
Be careful with it. It's got a nasty bug in it. Which I stopped using it because of that. If you're doing a Skype interview, quite often when you record it, your audio will be really, really quiet and the people you're interviewing will be really, really loud. It's a nasty bug it's got in there.
Well, I wouldn't use that anyway because I'd use the Skype wall for an interview, so, and Logic.
I know, but if... okay, maybe you would, but it's bollocks. Just trying to help, that's all.
He's got a green screen now, Will. He doesn't need our help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rogue Amoeba just released a sort of a Mac App Store, a new app called Piezo, does a lot of the similar things that Audio Hijack Pro does, but Audio Hijack Pro uses so many features that basically aren't acceptable in the Mac App Store. So they made this new app. I think it's only $10. Just came out.
Yeah, £6.99 PI Zone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Chris. Yeah, you've had your cool thingy.
Piezo makes it a snap to record audio on your Mac with just a few clicks. You can record audio from any application or from audio input devices like microphones. Piezo requires almost no configuration and it's a blast to use.
I feel a bit sorry for you now.
Me? Why?
Well, because you came up with your Audio Hijack Pro.
And he's trumped me.
No, not so much that. It's like, you know, when you come back after... sort of after the Christmas holidays with your new toy and you get into the playground and people say, oh, it's not very good. Did you know it's got a fault with that? And did you know that
I didn't say there was anything wrong with Audio Hijack Pro. I was just...
That's you, Bar Humbug Greenie.
Yeah.
It's not me, Bar Humbug. I'm just saying, if you're going to rely on this piece of rubbish...
I wouldn't use that. You want to use Plex. Plex is bloody marvellous. Yes. Oh, yes, it's fantastic.
It is.
Will Green.
Plex.
I love it.
Consumer Reports, Will Green.
You smell, Rankin. Yes.
I tell you, the best one for that was Wiretap Pro, but they stopped making it. That was bloody ace, that was.
I bought one of those things on a like a bundle thing years ago. That's where Don McAllister is today. He's busy making things for bundles, I think. But no, I bought one of those, and they still support it. I put in the code that I got with the bundle 3 years back, and it says, no, that code's no good. But they still give me a workable code, so good on them.
Doesn't work with Lion, though, Wiretap Pro.
Doesn't it? I haven't tried that.
Because I've been using it for years, and it always worked well, and that's why I moved over to Audio Hijack Pro. Actually, it was in Snow Leopard, and I was... It's over bloated. They've got all these little plugins and there's just no need for it.
Well, thank you for the demonstration of over bloated, Kyle. Very, very graphic. You should have been a mime, mate.
Thank you.
This podcast and many others would not be possible without the help of UK2.net. They are superb, fantastic people who keep us afloat. What can I say? Every week. They keep us on the air, and we would be off the air if they weren't there. So if you're going to buy a domain, please go and buy it from UK2.net. Use our click through on the website. You'll see it on the left-hand side. And buy your stuff from them. Get yourself a VPS server. Get yourself... Don't pull faces during the advertisement. Give the thumbs up, fair enough, but don't pull bloody faces. And we would be lost without them. They are the be-all and end-all of this network, as far as I'm concerned, because they pick up every bit of bandwidth, which we are sucking up rapidly. Thank you to Mr. Anatko for coming on last week and sucking us dry of bandwidth. Apart from the fact we've got an unlimited account, they just picked it up, so they're very happy. Please support them, uk2.net. Use the offer code... Who the hell is playing with... Offer code BagelTech gets you 15% off. Bagel DNS gets you the domain management charge stripped away if you're transferring your domain in. But that's it. There we go.
Use the code.
Use the code, for God's sake. They've stopped writing to us saying people aren't using the code, so hopefully that's because people are using the code, or whether they're just fed up now that people aren't. So there we go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Forsman?
You can get a hold of me on Ars Technica, where I am a regular contributor. Or if that is too hitty for you, you can always tweet me on the Twitters at Forsmac, and I will probably tweet you back with loads and loads of obscenities.
Thank you, mate. Lord Bagel Plus has also sent me a tweet now. I'm still here there. Too, you know.
Yeah.
Jolly good. Kyle, where can we get you, mate?
Twitter at Kyle Swagger. Google Plus, we've been talking about that lately, and photo. So Google Plus as well. KyleSwagger.com if you're looking for any commercial voiceover work.
Yeah.
Me up if you like.
And we've started having a hangout after the show, so we're going to have a hangout after this one. So join us on Google Plus. Andy, where can we get you, mate?
I am at Longball on Twitter, or you can get me via the London Mac User Group, lmug.org.uk.
And are you going on the photo walk to beer drinking tomorrow?
I was just about to say that, yeah. Join us for the joint LMUG Bagel Tech photo walk tomorrow, meeting down by Westminster. Details are on the LMUG site.
It's going to piss down, so there will be drinking.
There'll be a lot of drinking. I was on a photo walk last weekend with Geeks of London, and there was quite a lot of drinking involved in that as well. So
good.
I met some very nice people. So
excellent. And
bring your image stabilizing lens.
Absolutely, no question. Or did you see
beer stabilizing lens?
Alex's old man's monopod. £9. I've got to get one of those. Will, where can we get a hold of you? Tomorrow night we will be in the Tontine drinking Guinness.
We certainly will.
And at the studio drinking Guinness, followed by curry and...
Guinness.
And tell me we're not going to that crap curry house that charges £25 a main course.
No, we're not going to go there. I only went there once.
To try and impress me. I thought you were trying to shag me, dude.
Oh, dear.
given half the chance you earned, you know?
Good lad.
I'm sorry, did you say shag or shank?
Where can we get a hold of you then, Will?
You can get hold of me at...
By the Lavandals. Go on.
BritishMatt.com. Also, I should push my business at this point.
You should.
InfiniteLoopTraining.com. The UK's best Apple training centre.
With a fantastic voiceover.
It is. Actually, yeah. So it's Infinite Loop Training. So if you're looking for training in Apple technology and iOS, actually, if you're looking to deploy iPads and iPhones in a enterprise environment, Exchange 2008, etc., then come to us because we can help you out.
And if you're wanting to come for the Mac event, then be at the Tontine tomorrow night in Ironbridge, and that'll be it.
Yeah, grab a. It's a live podcast, which should be fun. There'll be lots of beer there, free, and then so we'll be recording that at the studio. When we finish at the studio, we'll be heading back into Ironbridge, getting pissed basically, and then having a curry. So it's a nicer culture.
That's it. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Making it complicated, is there? We'll be back again next week. The full panel will be back. Dr. Happy Mac will be back next week as well. His busyness is coming to an end. So he will be telling us about his adventures of a window cleaner that occurred on Monday with a lady whose Mac needed fixing. But if he'd had fixed it the way she wanted, he may have ended up with a virus. See you next week. Thanks for listening.